Hi.
Hey. I'm the first person, and so I'm trying to warm you up for these other three wonderful writers, and so we'll see how that goes. This is called Why I Deserve a Raise. I'd just like to say, I've done nothing but work hard since the day I got here, typed a resume that was never even read, and wore my only tie to the interview. Polished shoes reserved for Christmas Day, funerals, and family reunions. I fake smiled and shook hands with 2 new supervisors, 3 team leaders, 10 coworkers, and 1 district manager. I showed for every shift on the weekends and holidays, both federal and religious. Work days I requested off more than a month in advance. I punched in hungover, fever struck, dead tired, still drunk from the night before, the same clothes as the night before, even slept in the manager's office when it wasn't worth going home. I flew through speed traps, 4-way stops, blinking yellow lights, and one time I tried to outrun an unmarked cop car, which cost me 3 days' pay, all on account of making it here. I drove through snowstorms and monsoons, rode behind grandmas going 10 miles an hour, and even weaved through the path of a 4th of July parade, my patriotism trumped only by my work ethic. I responded every time the phone rang, whether I was on call, called in, or when coworkers called off. Even left my girlfriend's phone number so the store could reach me when I wasn't home, which didn't work out so well for me, but got my boss a piece of ass one night. On duty, I put in tough hours, swept and mopped every surface, been on my hands and knees with a toothbrush cleaning grout on the tile floor, broke down 15 pounds of cardboard boxes, separated the glass from plastic from aluminum cans, and handpicked through every trash bin to make sure I got them all. I bleached the bathrooms of both sexes, picked up papers stuck to the walls by adhesives unknown to me, wiped down both sides of the toilet seat, handled the bloody trash in the ladies' room, and once accidentally cleaned the shitters the day Big Joe ate 3 spicy burritos. I don't even know how he managed to hit the ceiling, but I cleaned that too. I'm even sitting here now thinking of ways I can work harder for that upcoming quarterly evaluation. So when you do hand out those 20-cent raises, I think you should consider me this time, because man, I could use it. So this is called the First Person I Fell in Love With Was on TV. There's a lot of love poems in here. It's that time of year, Jimmy, It wasn't just the cleavage. I mean, I was an 8-year-old boy, and she was Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. It had to do with colors, too. She was pale, skin like an eggshell that could have cracked right open under lipstick that red, her face brutally rouged around the edges. And all that black, black eyeliner, black stockings, black hair poofed into a storm cloud falling to her shoulders, to a neckline that tapered down to her navel. My small finger smudged the screen, tracing it all the way down, down to her belly and below, like a forest trail I wanted to travel. Down to that high-riding slit up one side of her skirt. Thighs and calves, they were all part of it too. A childhood spent up late entranced as Elvira segues back to the show from an electric chair in a cobwebbed crib. A mummy clumsily places the metal halo around her head. And sometimes, when I wasn't fast enough, a commercial would flash onto the screen, and my finger would still be there, pointing at collectible presidential coins or some other gimmick on TV. Lottery tips from Flood City. Jeannie Berardi swears trips are due. 2s or 0s, she said. Both for a buck. and funnels her fistful of quarters and dimes into my palm. I poke her golden numbers into the green lottery machine. It's trips or another flood, she says. They're both due. Floods are serious business here in Johnstown, where we cuff our blue jeans and gauge the waters of the Stony Creek if it rains more than 2 days straight. Because to live here, you have to float, become buoyant, lie down in knee-deep water, let it glide over your body like it baptized our family before, washed them away, left their ghost sloshing around the war memorial. We're due, Jeannie says. Hell, I'm due. You can't drown forever, you know? I overflow the register with her coins, and when I give her the tickets, I swear I see her hold her breath. Pirate love poem. I wanted to write a love poem to Anne Bonny, the harsh woman pirate who dressed as a man, who killed and fought and plundered man-of-war ships. She told her love, Calico Jack Rackham, whom she never led a mutiny against, who stayed beneath the quarter deck, hungover and ready to surrender. Right before his hanging, she said, "Sorry to see you there, but if you had fought like a man then, you wouldn't hang like a dog now." And I just wanted to write her a love poem, because I've always wanted a woman to say those kinds of things to me. So this one's called The Spider. People like to say death comes in threes. It just seems like you know two other people of all the people in your world, including celebrities and some woman you work with, and even though you don't know her cousin personally, you know he did die. The living, me and you and the rest of the planet, we invent fairy tales. We make euphemisms, religions, attempt to domesticate death. Some of us still hold our breath past a graveyard. Death comes in tens, in hundreds, some days in thousands. Ask your undertaker if he's only embalmed three bodies this week. Death peeks through a crack in your bedroom curtains, owl-eyed, slips beneath the cellar door into the basement, sets up a spider web in an unlit corner. So when you walk through it, step back and swat that single strand of silk stuck to your face, and the full infinity of the web comes into view, you freeze with the thought of the spider, all its eyes on you, wondering what exactly it has caught today. It's called I Spent It on a Box of Beer. The first time I was fired was a telemarketing job. Late afternoon cold calls to landlines, housewives, and baby boomers retired to loud TVs, and there's me pitching some shoddy, no-name, long-distance plan. I wore a headset like a halo and spoke too slow, never made it through the laminated script, some salesman's spiel they said was my brand new Bible. When people said no, I said, "Okay, thank you," and cut the call. But my coach, a ponytailed man with stains at his armpits, held three fingers up like an extraterrestrial sign for peace or war and said, "You have to hear the word no three times before hanging up." There aren't many times in life you should have to say no three times before it counts. Coach said he would listen in on my next call. I said, "Hello, sir, my name is," and the man cut in. "I'm so sick of you people calling when I'm sitting down to eat. Go to hell, you fuck." Coach said it was okay. He didn't say no three times. Because we caught him at a bad spot. The next person heard me out, but said, not interested. I tried to push through, get that second no, but she hung up. I said, shit, and coach ripped my headset away. He said, no, 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 you cannot curse at the customers. He sent me to the boss's office. She said this job wasn't working for me. I just wasn't enthusiastic enough for phone sales, but maybe when political surveys came into season, she would call. She never called, but 3 weeks later I got a check, $17.52 after taxes. So. This is called Booze for the Babysitter. She's holding the line at the state store, telling the kid at the counter her babysitter just graduated high school and 99 banana schnapps should be a great gift. They'll drink anything at that age. She says, thanks, hon, and finally leaves. The kid flips his bangs, rolls his eyes. My rum is on sale, $9.99. I don't have a babysitter. That's why I buy rum. I pay the kid with his emo haircut. We share a silent exchange, confirmed what happened here was real. That woman, her story about the babysitter, about high school, about her own daughter, about young women going to college, about the adequateness of 99 bananas. My cashier does that one-handed hair flop again, brown bags my rum and says, you know, that wasn't for her babysitter. You gotta see what's coming next. All right. This is called Shaving the Stash. I can only wear a mustache so long before my father appears in the bathroom mirror. So. This last one's called Stink Bug Poem. It's another love poem. A stink bug floats in my toilet, so I piss all over him, dunking him deeper in the yellowing water. He tries to paddle for the porcelain sides, but I move him with my piss like a hockey stick slips a puck back along the boards. My piss is bright as clean cooking oil, a vitamin C supplement, magnesium for cluster headaches, too much Mountain Dew. This stink bug, he must have absorbed all that shit in my piss. He flits his quick wings and paddles with a new vigor. I stand mid-piss admiring the stink bug, douse him down and he bobs back up, scuttles through the bubbles and ripples. Then the stink bug stops swimming and floats face up, ready for his fate, the big flush that awaits us all. Thanks.